The passage for my message to you today is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. I'll read verses 57 through the end of the chapter. Friends, hear the word of God. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." And then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him." And then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. Let us pray. God, we are so grateful this day as we read this story from so long ago that a new day has begun in your Son Jesus. We pray that the light of his Spirit would lead us this morning as we, for a few moments, look at this passage of Scripture and as we sing his praises. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. When hope arrives, silence is turned into a song. When last we left Zechariah, 3 weeks ago we talked about the man, earlier in chapter 1. We read the story of how he was silenced by the angel for not trusting God's messenger, and thus for being a man with no hope. Zechariah should have known that God could be trusted. After all, as a Levite priest serving in the temple, he would have memorized all the stories of God's people. He'd read about God's deliverance of Israel from the clutches of Egypt's Pharaoh. He'd memorized all of the promises of God to bring an anointed one, a Messiah, to the people to deliver them finally and fully. He'd even known the astonishing stories of God doing unexpected things, sometimes, many times in the pages of the Old Testament, giving a child to a woman who had been childless before. Zechariah knew better than to not believe the angel. Even still, he was not willing to see himself and his wife Elizabeth as a part of God's plan. For a fellow like Zechariah, God only worked in the past. God only worked with others. It just couldn't be the case, could it, that God wanted to use he and Elizabeth? I know the story says that the angel Gabriel proclaimed that Zechariah would be mute until the predicted events came to pass. But if we read the story correctly, if we look at it on a little deeper level, it seems to me almost as if Zechariah's heart and his faith had been silent for a long time, maybe a very long time. We've all been there with Zechariah, and maybe you are this morning. Hope for a different kind of future can sometimes seem so far away. Hope for good health, hope to be lifted out of a pit of despair. Hope for our marriages, hope for our children and our grandchildren. Sometimes trusting in God's promises doesn't seem practical. The stories that we read, the words that we read in the Bible, we think were for others long ago. We're tempted to think that nothing much in our world ever really changes, that there are some challenges that are just too big to overcome, that our relationships that are strained and distant, for them to find healing and renewal, for us to see a character formation in our lives be changed and transformed, sometimes it just seems too distant for us. Sometimes we remain silent and mute before the possibility of that happening. We understand, we in fact know those places in our lives, each of our lives, where we are silent. However, just when all hope seemed lost, just when the silence was deafening, God did everything that he promised he would. I don't know about you, but I kind of suspect God likes it when the odds are against him. It makes his glory shine all the brighter and sparkle against the darkest skies. Just as Gabriel predicted, Elizabeth did conceive. The aged Elizabeth did give birth to a son. And that son was named John. Even that was unexpected. Most often, the firstborn son of a family in those days was named after the father. The boy should have been named Zechariah, or at least the name of a relative. But no, the boy was named John, just as the angel said it should be. Zechariah took a tablet because he could not speak, and he scratched in that tablet, "His name is John." Notice that the child, it wasn't said of the child, "He shall be named John," as if Zechariah had anything to do with it at all. Instead, Zechariah's scribble is an acknowledgement that all that God had promised would come to pass. And what a perfect name for this child. John is the shorter form, or at least most scholars think, the shorter form of Yohanan, which means God's gracious gift. A great gift indeed for Elizabeth and Zechariah, who could never have hoped for such a gift. And no sooner had Zechariah scrawled out, "His name is John," than his tongue was loosed and he began to speak once more. Luke says that he spoke, blessing God. Would that that would be said of all of us. And filled with God's Spirit, Zechariah, like Mary before him, sang a song to the Lord, a kind of prophetic song. Interestingly, the focus of most of the song is not about his child at all, about that child, his relationship to the child, or so much what the child would do, though there is some of that. Instead, Zechariah sang about how God was at work in Mary's child, and how John would prepare the way for Mary's son. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel," Zechariah said. For he has looked favorably upon his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us. That's Jesus. In him, dear friends, hope arrived. All the hopes and dreams the people of Israel ever entertained for salvation, for the blessing of this world, all of the hopes and dreams that Zechariah had given up on, we now find fulfilled in Mary's child. It was all so close and so tangible to Zechariah that he sang this song as if the events themselves had already come to pass when Mary had not yet even given birth. In this child, Mary's child, in this child, God would rescue his people, just as he'd done way back with Moses and the Exodus out of Egypt. In this child, God would show his faithfulness and the steadfastness of his love to yet another generation and generations beyond through all eternity, even to us. In this child, God's people would be set free to worship and to serve God. In this child, their sins would be forgiven. In this child, God's tender mercy would be put on display like the sunrise dispelling the darkness from a day gone by. In this child, there would be peace, shalom, well-being, healing, wholeness. Zechariah's silence was turned into a song. What about your silence? Is it possible this morning that you too might sing again? In Mary's child, all of our hopes and dreams, or perhaps to put it better, all of God's hopes and dreams for us are fulfilled. Is this just an ancient story to you today? Is this just something that happened back there and then with people whom you never met and can never know? Or could this take place in your heart? Can you sing there again? Can you sing once more in your home? Can you sing about your marriage? Can you sing about your job? Can you sing about being a student at your school? Can you? God likes it when the odds are against him. His glory will shine brightest in your life when that is so. In Jesus, there is freedom from that which binds us. In him, there is freedom to joyfully serve God and glorify him and enjoy him. In Jesus, there is love and mercy, and there is peace, and there is healing. Friends, this morning, be filled with the Spirit of God. Sing unto him, for God has redeemed you. Amen.